I've been in an arm wrestling match with God most of the week, and especially yesterday and Friday, because I wanted to re-preach last Sunday's message. Because I believe last Sunday's message is terribly important for the church. God is speaking to us about love. It started when Ralph, at the end of worship, began to speak to us about love. Then Matt stepped up here to receive the tithe and the offerings and spoke to us about love. Rachel's message 2 weeks ago when Ralph and Matt talked about love, her title of her message, she could have gone a half a dozen different directions, but she talked about love. And none of that was choreographed for Sunday. Nobody knew what the other was going to say. And nobody knew that my series that God had placed on my heart was about love. So God is speaking to us about love. And we need to have ears to hear. And I'm going to say this because it needs to be said. Don't think you know everything. The moment you do, you'll miss a nugget that was meant just for you. Don't say, I've heard it before, I already know it. I can almost tell you what you're about to say is a very dangerous place to live. We need to have hearts that are open for whatever the Father wants to speak. Any way He wants to speak it, even if He's rehearsing something we have heard 100 times. Obviously, we need to hear it again. As I've said last week, if you haven't changed, you haven't learned yet. And so we need to be listening. And the Father's presence back in the office was very heavy. I felt the burden of the Lord for His church to walk in greater levels of compassion, kindness, mercy, in love. Last week, I talked about what did Paul look like? What did he really look like? A very important message on knowing what did Paul actually look like. Because it exposed that Paul was crazy in love with Jesus. And crazy meaning that he had a deeply profound love for Jesus. One that was such that he would do anything for Jesus and bear up under anything for Jesus. That's what crazy love is. Thus, this series, Crazy Love. Asking the question, are we crazy in love with Jesus? That's what the series is asking. Will we do anything and will we bear up under anything for Him? He who gave His life for us. We speak a lot about loving others, but are our actions revealing that we love Jesus? Do our actions reveal that I love Jesus? And do I have a love for Him enough that I'll do whatever He asks me to do? Do I love Jesus? Can I get Jesus on my calendar? I'm going to read from last week's passage as I open. I'll be reading the scriptures that we studied We lived them, we didn't read them. We lived them, and we found out what Paul really looked like. But I'm going to read all that Paul said. One is a reminder of last week's sermon. And secondly, for those of you that have yet to hear the sermon last week, that you will go and do so. You can do that on Facebook, you can do that on YouTube, or you can hear the audio on our website. I'm going to read from the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to begin in verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Those verses we lived out last Sunday. It is very important that you make time to go hear that sermon. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. In verse 28, then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Father, let these words burn deep into our hearts of the reality of the price that Paul paid to obey you, a price that we don't face here. So the question, Father, that you're asking us is, do we love Jesus enough to obey you? Father, open our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit in this place right now. Holy Spirit, I yield to you to lead, guide, and direct me through the moments that I have. And that you open every heart to hear what God has set aside for each individual. And most high and heavenly Father, I worship you and I glorify you this morning. I thank you for your visitation in the office to just settle and let me know your heart. And Father, let us open our hearts now to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As I continue to study Scripture, I continue to see over and over and over again men and women who obey God and step out of their comfort zone, who do great and mighty things for God. Now notice, I didn't say great men and women. I said men and women, just like you and I, who stepped outside their comfort zone and obeyed God, did great things for God. I continue to learn and see and to understand this one powerful truth. Every week, God is trying to get us to step outside of a comfort zone in our life to do great things for Him. The question is, are we answering the call to step out of our comfort zone? And I'll continue to say this throughout the service. Do we love Jesus enough to obey God? Do we love Jesus enough to obey God? Now, I'm going to step on some toes. That's okay. I'm good at that. I know people who love their boats so much, they would sacrifice everything to make sure that boat was number one. But then come into church and say Jesus is number one. But yet if Jesus said get rid of the boat, he's no longer number one. That's just one of thousands of examples I could give of what I'm talking about being love with Jesus. Can you give away the most precious thing you have materially? Can you? It's a good question to ask. Do we love Jesus enough to obey him? Andy Stanley said, stepping outside your comfort zone is not a careless irresponsibility, but a necessary act of obedience. Necessary act of obedience. You've heard me say this before. I'm not patting myself on the back. It's an example. I'll never forget walking out of the garage. We just moved here. We stepped outside our comfort zone when we planted North Elevation Church. And I walk out in the garage, and I finally get my Harley the way I want it, and God said, give it away. I didn't even hesitate. I walked back in the house. I told Rochelle, I got to give that Harley away. I didn't want to hear from him, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do love you. And if you say give it away, I'm going to give it away. Now, my father-in-law is now in heaven, but he never did understand that one. We have to ask ourselves, do we love God? Are we crazy in love with his son, Jesus Christ, enough to obey whatever he tells us to do? I've given you this definition over and over again, but we're going to revisit it again. We're going to rehearse it. We're going to rehearse some truths that I have preached here before, because that's what God said to do. And we just need to open our hearts and see what part of those truths God is trying to get our attention about. Obedience, from the Dictionary of Bible Themes, says a willingness to submit to the authority of someone else and to actually do what one is asked or told to do. I want to say that again. Actually do what one is asked or told to do. Maybe in the church we need to do that at work too. Remember I said position yourself so people will listen to you when you share your Jesus stories? Don't be rebellious. Scripture lays particular emphasis upon the need for believers to obey God. To obey God. Let me say this to you. Don't try to figure it out and think you can see that it's not going to be good for you. If God's telling you to do it, it's going to be good for you. He didn't say it would be easy, but it's going to be good for you. It'll be better than the direction you would go or the decision you would make. Because we lack self-preservation. We try to protect ourselves. And God is trying to teach us, trust me, I'll protect you. Trust me. This sermon's already gone in another direction. Get ready. Here's a pin truth. Every step outside our comfort zone requires dying to myself. I have to ask the question again. Do I love Jesus enough to die to myself? Well, I will when everybody else dies to themselves and shows me some mercy. The Bible teaches very clearly, show mercy and you'll receive mercy. We've got to die to ourselves. If you got your cell phone, in just a moment, I'm going to have you pull it out and take a picture. If you're taking notes, you need to take good notes, because I'm about to read a passage of Scripture, very short but very powerful, that you need to put somewhere to remind yourself of dying to yourself. It's in John chapter 3, verse 30, and it says, He must increase and I must decrease. We need to put that somewhere so that we remind ourselves every day that I am not first, He is. And what He tells me to do is first. We need to obey the Father's voice. Well, how do I know the Father's voice? Oh, I haven't got time for that message. You need to have a regular rhythm and routine to your devotional life, and it needs to be regular. There needs to be a good rhythm to it. That means every day. You need to be before the Father, worshiping Him, studying, living the Word of God, praying the Word of God. And then I would encourage you journaling your journey with God. That's how we hear from God. We hear from God in sermons. We hear from God in worship. We hear from God when we're reading the Bible. We hear from God even when we're praying. How many times have I been praying and God said, nope, wrong direction. You need to set the course differently. You need to pray this way. But that's not what I want. Do you want a blessing? Well, yeah. Well, pray this way. See, if we do that, then He gets the credit instead of us. Amen? I'm going to share some known truths with you now. Won't be the first time I've preached them. Won't be the last time. But these are the moments in which we need to open our heart, find out what God is trying to say to me individually. One of those known truths is that self-denial is key. Self-denial is key. John Broger said this, the supreme challenge you will face in making Christ-honoring biblical changes is dying to self. See what he said? Christ-honoring, biblical. It's all about dying to self. The biblical perspective concerning self is exactly the opposite to what the wisdom of this world proclaims. Or our wisdom proclaims. Our wisdom. We need to die to ourselves. See, if we could just get the simplicity of this revelation, when I'm dying to myself, I'm letting God know that I am in love with Jesus and I'm ready to do what you tell me to do. I'm in love with Jesus. Stepping out of our comfort zone is all about surrender. It's all about surrender. To do what God wants us to do. It's daily yielding. And in some of our lives, because of who we are and our personalities, it could be hourly. Come on. Are we going to do it? Do we love Jesus enough to do what's necessary? To do God's will above our own. It's about surrender. And let me say this, the church should be more willing than any person on planet Earth because we, the church, have a Jesus that gave His all for us. And we should be willing to die to self. We got to die to ourselves. Shall I'm going to throw this in for free for everybody. If you don't learn to die to yourself, you'll never have the marriage you want. That was free, okay? Moving along. Romans 12:1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Pause. Let's live the Word of God for a moment. Let's don't just read it and run past something of great importance. The author says, as he's speaking to these believers, he uses these words, I plead with you. Why was he pleading with them? Because they weren't fully sacrificing for Jesus. He's pleading with them to be the Christians they ought to be. Those are not just words thrown in there. He's literally, I can see him pleading, yearning inside. Oh, if you just understood, if you would just submit. And listen to what he says. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. When you submit and obey God and come out of your comfort zone to do what God's telling you to do, you are declaring not only to the Father your love for him, but you are declaring to a world that you are crazy in love with Jesus. And sometimes they wonder if we are. We need to model we are. We need to model that we are. We have to ask the question again. Are we in love enough with Jesus to obey God? Another pin truth that will walk us into some things over the next few moments. The sacrifices that come with stepping outside my comfort zone aren't always easy. But they are always worth it. Now we're going to walk into a reality of that statement in just a moment. But surrender, sacrifice, is all about your gifts, your talents, oh, and the sacred cow, your resources. It's also about your energy. What do you mean by energy? You may have to lose some sleep to obey God. But the Bible tells me that he'll give it back. He'll restore your strength. Your resources. Man, that's where, you know, that's where we say, whoop, I don't know about that. Are we fully surrendered? Are just in some areas. You'll never know the fullness of joy, unspeakable, until you are fully surrendered. And we're all wanting joy, right? Touch on that again in a moment. Another known truth that we've heard over and over again, and it has to do with obeying God, stepping outside of our comfort zone, is trust is a key. We have to trust him to step out of our comfort zone. Gary Hood thought that Rochelle and I were absolutely nuts when he found out we only had $1,200 and we're going to plant a church. He wasn't saying they're crazy in love with Jesus. He just said they're crazy. But you have to be in love with Jesus enough to obey God's voice and step outside your comfort zone. Proverbs 3:5. As much as I quote this, we're probably going to have to put that on the front of the building. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Did it say part of your heart? A segment of your heart? All of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Here's a learning point. God, I have found many times, and probably most of the time, if we were honest, is calling us out of our comfort zone to deepen our trust in Him. So that we can know greater things because our faith has grown. But also I have found so that my witness will grow to a world that needs to see somebody crazy in love with Jesus. And it also opens doors. How many doors you been asking God to open for you? Maybe stepping outside your comfort zone and obeying God and doing something that has nothing to do with the door you're asking about is going to open the door. Somebody should have went, oh my, I know what I'm going to do. Because you want that door to open. I love what David Jeremiah, his take on God opening doors. Listen to this. When God opens a door, it is often an exit from our comfort zone. You're always wanting a door to open. But when it tells you, but when you realize that door is going to take you out of your comfort zone, say, God, not interested. Can you give me another door? No. There's not door one, door two, and door three. This isn't make a deal. There's only one door, and you need to walk through it. You need to walk through it. You and I truly have no idea whatsoever what lies on the other side of that comfort zone door, as I call it, when you have to step out of your comfort zone and step through the door. But I do know this. There is something amazing waiting for you. There is something incredible that lies before you, and you'll never see it, experience it, and enjoy it until you step out of your comfort zone, obey God, and get out there and trust Him. You won't see it. Another truth is you will encounter deeper joy. Probably, besides people asking me, how do I know God's will? I'm asked regularly, I just need more joy. Can you help me figure out how to walk in more joy? And after I've spent some time with them, I start realizing that they are not stepping out of their comfort zone. They are struggling with obeying God. There are realms of joy that go beyond your imagination, that are beyond words, that you'll only experience when you step out of your comfort zone and obey God. You'll drop into deeper realms of joy that you can't even explain to people. Why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? I don't know. Well, explain it to you. I don't know how. Obey God. See, people don't like simple answers. Give me a 10 steps to the joy. Come on. Sells books, doesn't it? How about just obey God, step outside your comfort zone, and receive joy unspeakable. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. You make known to me the path of life. Pause. He makes known to me the path of life. The question is, He makes it known to me, am I stepping out into it? Because probably that path is going to take me outside my comfort zone. in your presence there is fullness of joy. Where is a greater realm of his presence that you've not known before? It's in obedience. Didn't hear one amen on obedience. Man, tough crowd. A deeper realm of his presence through obedience. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is a deep joy. I'm telling you, I know. There is a deep joy that you'll only find when you obey God and step outside your comfort zone. And then the question is asked again. Do I love Jesus enough to obey God? I've also learned a lesson about his intimacy. Let's read from John 14, 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who what? Loves me. We have the commandments, but what if God gave you a command this afternoon? If you do the command, then you show that you what? You love him. When we disobey, are we showing that we love him? No. When I refuse to step outside my comfort zone, am I telling the Father that he means more to me than anything else? No, I've just said I mean more to me than anything else. Because I don't trust you and I don't love you enough to do that. Is anybody with me so far? Well, you don't know what's happened in my past. You don't know what's happened in my past. I got as many excuses I can make for not trusting God as anybody. But I refuse not to trust him. That's the choice you have to make, to refuse not to trust him. You got to trust him. See, what we're doing is we're saying, I refuse to trust you. What we should be saying is, I refuse not to trust you. I have learned that as I step out and trust God and walk outside my comfort zone, I learn about him in ways I've never known him, and the intimacy that I have with him is deeper. See, we want to be deeper with God, but we don't want to obey God to have a deeper relationship. We just want God to say, hey, look, God, I don't want to move from where I'm at. You just come and be deeper. For some, just establishing a regular rhythm and routine to your devotional life can be stepping outside your comfort zone. But you'll gain more than what you think you're losing. I found these deeper realms by obeying him and moving outside my comfort zone. And here's something to lay down. Do we love Jesus enough that we'll do what it takes to have deeper realms of intimacy with him? You know, as the church, for all that Jesus did on the cross, we should be hungering and yearning for his presence. The question has to be asked, do I even care for those deeper realms? Or am I too consumed by the world and all that's going on around me? I could have used the old statement that is said all the time, worldly pursuits. But sometimes when we're talking about letting the worldly things around us keep us from intimacy with God, it's because we're allowing all these things around us to consume us and we're not trusting God. The other known truth about obeying God, stepping outside our comfort zone, is one word: miracles. The other thing that people come to me and ask is, why aren't we seeing miracles? They don't like my answer. Because the church is not obeying God. The church refuses to move outside its comfort zone. The church wants it all to come so that I can sit in the stands and be a spectator to it. It's going to take some action on our part to get out and do what God's telling us to do. Pen truth, time and time again, when I step out of my comfort zone, I see God show up and do miracles. Sharing my Jesus stories always position me to not be a spectator for miracles, but be in the middle of the miracles. We got to quit being spectators, even in worship. When we come here, we don't need to be spectators. They're not up here trying to entertain us, I promise you. They are here to worship the one. They are worshiping to an audience of one and to help us move into his throne room. Also, the more I step outside my comfort zone and obey God, not only am I in the middle of the miracles, but it keeps me in awe of the faithfulness and the goodness of my Father God. And I believe with all of my heart that one of the lost things in the church, you can call it a thing, you can call it a characteristic, you can call it whatever you want to call it, is an awe of the Father. An awe. And if we spent more time not trying to position ourselves to protect ourselves from having to do anything, and we opened ourselves up for God to obey Him and move outside our comfort zone, we would walk in more awe. One person said it's a lost art in the church to hear the church say, "Oh, that was awesome." The question continues, are we in love with Jesus enough to obey God? I penned this late last night. The God I serve deepens my trust in His faithfulness every time I obey His voice. I'm going to say it again. The God I serve deepens my trust in His faithfulness every time I obey His voice. My final word for today. The deceiver Satan would love for you to stand on the sidelines of your life shaking in your boots rather than step outside your comfort zone. Don't let him win this conflict. I encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and experience more of the awesome that is our God. Be obedient and do what God asks you to do. Then you will begin to see and experience just downright amazing things. Some good old Texan for you. I believe you can, but more importantly, God believes you can. When God asks you to step out of your comfort zone, be obedient and follow His will. Give it a shot. Step out of your comfort zone and the amazing will follow. and the world will know you are crazy in love with Jesus. We don't face what Paul faced in the manner that he faced it physically. There are Christians around the world that are. But here's the key thing with Paul. It didn't stop him from obeying God. And it's not stopping the Christians around the world. So what's stopping us? It's surely not that. But to understand a deeper realm of love for Jesus, you need to go listen and hear how Paul really looked. This morning, in obedience to the Father, I want to ask Rochelle to come to the platform and pray a prayer of dedication to the Father in behalf of this community of faith and the community of faith that's following us all over the place. Rochelle and I were noticing all over this country and foreign countries, and there's a whole bunch of Mayans watching us right now. Prayer of dedication that we're going to prove to the world that we're crazy in love with Jesus. But more importantly, we're going to make sure God knows I'm crazy in love with you. Would you stand?
Father God, we love you today. We love you, Jesus. And we love you because you first loved us. You willingly laid down your life for us. You went through torture and pain that no one has ever gone through before. You did it all for us because you love us that much. And you are so faithful. You are so faithful to your word. Your love is unfailing. It never fails. There's no circumstance where your love will fail. Your love never fails. It is unconditional. It is perfect love. Because it is you, O God. Because God is love. Lord, we as your people, your children, Christians, the body of Christ, the remnant church, the ecclesia of God, we should love you daily. We should die to ourselves and to our flesh daily and put you first in all things. Lord, help us where we fall short. Help us where we fail. Help us where we put self first before others. Lord, help us. Help us to be your people that are called by your name, that are dedicated to you 100% all in, not halfway, because that's not good enough. That's a lukewarm church. And you will spew us out of your mouth if we're lukewarm, as the Bible says. So, Lord, help us to be all in. Help us to be totally dedicated to you, O God, and put you first in all things. Help us to submit to you in all of our ways. Lord, help us to obey you, to obey your will for our lives, and to obey your word. And let it be the guide for our lives. Oh, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you afresh and anew today. And we say, we will be your church that is called by your name, that loves you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we will put no other gods before you. And we cast down our idols. We cast down everything that is not of you and everything that has been put before you. We cast it down now in Jesus' name. And we say, we will love you, Lord our God. We commit to you this day to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love others as we love ourselves. And that means to put others first before ourselves. Help us to walk this out daily. Give us the strength and the grace that we need. Fill our hearts with your mercy and compassion, O God. Your loving kindness. Your tender mercies. They are new every morning. For great is your faithfulness. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious, mighty name. Amen.